The question today is, what are the husband and wife's obligation to each other? Well, first of all, let me say the obligation of the husband and the wife is to love one another. Love one another, mutual obligation to love one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24, he said, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." I know it's talking about the saints of God, but yet the word provoke means to excite or arouse, to cause or to move. And so that would be, that verse can be applied to the home. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husband. Provoke them to love one another. In other words, not to despise, but to love. Now, both also applies to the husband and wife as well as others, and as well as all others. So it's reciprocal. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 said, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin." 1 Peter 4, 8 says, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin." Now, that doesn't mean we dismiss their action as not being sin, if it is. But it means we don't hold it over their head. We overlook each other's mistakes, each other's faults, each other's failures in that sense. So wives are said, they needed to be taught to love their husbands. That's what the Bible says. That's strange for us. We do usually think it would be the other way around. But the Bible said in the book of Titus, chapter number 2, verse number 3 and 4, he said, he's talking about what to do in the church, what the aged men are to do. And then he said, verse 3, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." So therefore, that's what the Bible said. You see, love is not natural in the beginning. Lust is natural. Most homes are started out, they think they love one another, but really it's just a natural thing. But love needs to be plowed and cultivated, if you please. And you see, as we think about it, the failure of Jerusalem was worse than the reasons God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You go back and see what he says in Ezekiel chapter 16 about Jerusalem and comparing it to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said in verse number 45, here in verse 45 of chapter 16 of Ezekiel, he said, "Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art thy sister of thy sisters which loathe their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father was an Amorite. Thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet thou hast not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as it were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways." He's talking to Jerusalem, Judea. In other words, you're worse off than Sodom and Gomorrah was, as you think about what he's saying there. Now, what was Sodom and Gomorrah's problem? Well, the real reason was, of course, they didn't love their husband. They loathed their husbands and loathed their children. But Sodom and Gomorrah's problems, and it said in verse 49 through 50, it said, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, and they are haughty and committed abomination before me." In other words, sounds just like America. Sounds like our people today. And he said, that's what brought, and he said, "Jerusalem, you were worse, more corrupted than they in all thy ways, because they loathed their husbands and loathed their children." That means they didn't love them like they should love their husbands or their children. So we're living in a day when people, we're unnatural in this world. For instance, back some time ago, you may remember this, but there was a girl who wanted to go to the prom so bad. She dressed up, went to the prom, had her baby in the toilet, and in other words, and died that day. She didn't let anyone know she was expecting. She wanted to go to the prom. She didn't love her children. She didn't love anything but herself. She wanted what she wanted. You realize something? And you parallel that girl to Pharaoh's daughter, even in Pharaoh's day, even ungodly world. And there was, God had put a love in her heart for her children. And yet, in other words, whenever Moses cried, the heart was moved with the cry of the baby, as a mother's heart, even though she probably wasn't even married, from all indication. But yet, she had a mother's heart. And yet, that's something that he said needs to be taught. Older ladies teach the younger, and so forth in the church. You need to teach them to love their husbands and love their children. So the mutual obligation is to love one another. Husbands are commanded to love. You'd think the opposite would be true, but the Bible said in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse number 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So you see, Christ's love for the church is a model for the husbands. He said that love. And if we'll love them like they should, they'll be in submission like they should. It's what the Bible says. In other words, principles apply to the wife as well in these things I want to give you. But remember, it's a mutual obligation. But first of all, your love, mutual obligation to love, ought to be a sacrifice without complaint. Sacrifice without complaining. How the Bible said in John chapter 10, verse number 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He laid down on the cross of Calvary, and they nailed him to it because he loved us that much. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe those thieves had to be pushed down, and a multitude of soldiers had to nail them to the cross. But not so with Jesus. He lay himself down there. And then when he was hanging up there, after no doubt pain and agony, as every bone was out of joint, not broken, but out of joint, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, he demonstrated his love. In other words, the devil's the enemy. All pain and all agony. In other words, look what happened to Christ. The stripes, the agony and the thorns, the bones out of joint, yet no complaint, because that's why he came. You realize the devil is our enemy. He's your enemy, and not the Lord, and not your husband, and not your wife. He's mutual love, and it ought to be sacrificed without complaining. Now, a lot of times what we do, and in other words, we never doubt Christ's love for us, but we sometimes sacrifice at times for our wives just a little and then complain. Don't you remember when I dug up that flower garden and so forth? Now, it works both ways. You see, when you do something because you love, you're supposed never to complain. Now, we unconsciously complain a lot of times. All we do for our wives will be lost when we complain. You do this, though, you sacrifice without complaint, and she'll respond. And then, so let's just be honest. We must demonstrate our love for her. And Christ's love for the church is our example, if you please. It's our model. And what it amounts to is his love for the church was forgiveness without reminder. You see, he said he hid the sin as far as east is from west. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, he said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, Peter denied in a moment of distress three times. He denied him. When the cock crowed twice, Peter wept and repented. And in other words, and when Jesus, when he saw Jesus' eyes, he was forgiven and never reminded. His conscience was scarred, but yet he reminded himself. But if and when he did really truly repent there that day when he looked in Jesus' eyes, Jesus never reminded him again. Now, I know three times he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? In the book of John chapter 21, and no doubt he thought himself that he was reminded of that. But he didn't say it, though. If he had repented, he didn't say it three times to remind him. But yet, see, he did. He was reminded. Now, it may not have been that Peter didn't really fully repent until that day, because he was grieved, and godly sorrow works repentance. And in John 21, it talked about there being grief. So he forgives and he forgets. Your sins and iniquities I remember no more. Hebrews 10:17 said, therefore. And so you see, no matter what we've done, if we ask Jesus about it, in essence, if we've been asking him to forgive us, and we come back again and mention it, he'll say, what are you talking about? He forgives and forgets. Now, you and I can't forget like our Lord forgot. But you forget in the sense that he forgot. You come to that place that you don't hold it against him, and you won't bring it up. You see, you get some problem sometimes in the church, and people will bring it up 20 years later, even if it's been supposed to have been confessed and forgotten. So you don't help yourself when you remind your wife or your husband of that scar, when they're supposed to be forgiven and forgotten. And so don't let the sun go down up on your wrath. You ought never to sleep until things are settled. Love. Love is forgiveness without reminder, sacrifice without complaint, but it's giving without getting. At the cross, Jesus did not say, I'll die if you do, so-and-so. He died even if you don't trust him. In a sense, Jesus would have died just for one. So we need this kind of love for our wives. We do that we do a lot of times just to get what we want and manipulate, in other words. But we've conditioned our wives to believe that we'll not do unless I want something in return. For instance, you bring home flowers sometimes, and you say, what have you done now? What do you want now? Now, see, the only motive should be that I just love you. Now, this applies in every area of life. John 6:37, he said, give, and it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And so Christ's love for the church was the model, and we find it was selflessness, also selflessness without resentment, sacrifice without complaint, forgiveness without reminder, giving without getting, but it's selflessness without resentment. Christ was not self-centered. He was not selfish. You see, man's selfish. Jesus was selfless. He was church-centered. Male ego usually causes men to think it's a weakness to admit a problem exists in the home. But we've all got weaknesses. Male ego sometimes will cause you to say, I'm the head and I told her so. Listen, if you've got to tell your wife you're the head, you're probably not the head. She's the neck. And in other words, if you have to tell everybody you're the head, you're not the head. She knows when you're the head. She respects you when you fulfill your responsibility or your obligation. Now, you need to be so full of love that you are selfless. In other words, that's joy. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And that sure applies to your wife. In other words, it ought to be Jesus before yourself, and then others before yourself. And that's your wife. And vice versa. This works both ways. So we're talking about the fact of the obligation. What are the husband's and wife's obligation to each other? There's a mutual obligation to love one another. And if you'll fulfill that, men especially, if you'll do that. Now, women, man is commanded to do it. Women need to be taught, he said. And it seems like that's right backward in our society, the way we men are today and women are today. But not so. It's what God said. So teach older women, teach you the younger women to love their husbands and love their children. And men, you love your wives with a love like Christ did the church. Sacrifice without complaint. Forgiveness without reminder, giving without getting, selflessness without resentment, and you'll have a wife that'd be glad to submit to you. Just meet your responsibility. She'll be glad to take her position as one in submission to her husband, as what God wants her to do. So the mutual obligation of husband and wife is to love one another. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.